Blog Talk Radio.
Recruiting Animal here on July 17th, 2013. And you know, I read an article this week. In fact, I read lots of articles, but this one that I'm going to talk to you about was on socialhire.com. Socialhire.com. And it said, treat candidates with respect and don't look at them as a deal waiting to happen. That was for recruiters. Recruiters, treat your candidates with respect. Don't look at them as a dollar sign. And you know what I said to myself when I read that? I said, this person is not a recruiter. The author of this article never had to search for job orders, and she never had to search for placements, because if you're a recruiter, what she says candidates aren't is exactly what they are. Yeah. A candidate is a deal waiting to happen and nothing more. If the candidate wants a career coach, let her go out and hire one. A recruiter is not there to help people. He's there to make placements and he's there to make money. And candidate experience, what does that mean? It just means don't be stupid. That's the only rule you need. You don't have to be anyone's buddy. No one's going to take a job from you, Mr. Recruiter, because they like you. You either have the job the candidate wants or you don't. There's nothing more to your relationship than that, you know. Yesterday, my good friend Kelly Blockdyke, that's a hard name. You don't know. You can imagine how it's spelled on Twitter. She's Talent Talks. She should take that as her real name. Anyway, she posted an article on recruiting blogs about her friend. And this person was complaining that a recruiter didn't recognize her level of experience because at her company, they use job titles that are more junior than the role really is. And of course, that was the problem. Her job title was too junior. It's not the fact that the client wants someone with 5 years of experience and she has only two. No. She's a dynamo. The recruiter is just narrow-minded because he can't see it. He can't see the diamond that she is. Now, I would advise this recruiter not to see this girl as a deal waiting to happen because she isn't. But everyone else is until they aren't. And my final word of advice is remember the mantra of business in America. Be like Steve Jobs. And he didn't make his fortune being friendly to nincompoops. And that is all, Jerry! Can you tell us what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show!
Thank you, Jerry! I had to say, Jerry, can you roll the tape? Because that was a tape. That was a tape of Jerry. He's on vacation with the kids, and that's okay. We don't need a... Hey, somebody's breathing heavily on the line. Please, can you stop it? Just put your mic away from your mouth, okay? Or I'm going to go nuts. So anyway, like, I don't care that Jerry's not here because we don't need a report on William Tincup every week, but I have something to say by way of an introduction to the show. I've been thinking for a long time, everybody who's a regular knows, about structuring the show in a different way to make it more interesting. And here's my latest idea. 5 minutes for the intro, maybe four, the one I just did, for instance. 5 minutes for chit-chat at the beginning of the show with the singing and stuff. Then a 30-minute interview, full 30 minutes. Then 15 minutes for the after show. That brings the whole thing in just under an hour. And if the show is really hot, like it usually isn't, and we need more time, well, maybe we can stretch it just a bit. But I think 30 minutes might do the trick to make it lively, to make it fun week after week after week, okay? Anyway, Peggy McKee, are you here?
You know I am. I'm ready to go.
I wasn't sure. I got to ask you at the last minute. Thanks. I'm going to let you introduce yourself
you're welcome.
In a minute. Phil Tomlinson, are you here?
Yep, I'm here.
Good, good. You sound a little younger than the last time I spoke to you. I can't remember. Are you using a funny voice or using your... Is that your real voice?
I'm using my real voice. I'm only 26.
Okay, well, pretend it's a little deeper for the show. You might get farther, okay? Maybe that. I hope Peggy gives you that advice, too. Now, Jeremy Seth Davis, who was supposed to be on. Are you here, Jeremy? Because you haven't been replying to my tweets or email. What's the story? Are you here, Jeremy? Jeremy Seth Davis? No. Okay. Well, look, Peggy, I sort of threw this show together. I mean, I planned it, and then I left it. That's what happened. And then I threw it together at the last minute. I thought we'd bring two people back who you kind of interviewed before, take a look at what happened with their job hunt, where they are now, give them some advice. Now, since there's only one person, I don't know if we have enough material, but I've got a lot of questions for you, just in case, you know, Phil isn't substantial enough for you to say very much about, okay?
All right.
Okay.
Phil, are you ready?
Phil, that wasn't an insult.
I'm ready.
That wasn't an insult. That was only, you know, like he said, he's young, okay? So maybe there's not much there. But before we get to Phil, I have to ask two questions, okay? First, Jeremy had a problem. Jeremy Seth Davis found that after he was on my show, whenever anybody searched his name on Google, the show was the first thing that came up in all the other marketing material that I had published about it. So he got in touch with me and asked me to change his name on all the show material. And, you know, I was willing to do it, and I did. But I'm just wondering, how necessary is that? What do you think about that?
Necessary to change it because that's what comes up on Google?
Yeah, if somebody searches his name, what they were getting was the show where, you know, where some screaming at him, you're telling him, you know, that he's confused and all kinds of stuff like that. You know, he doesn't know anything, and I think everybody was psychoanalyzing him. So did he make a smart move in getting in touch with me and trying to change his online footprint?
Well, probably, because you want to control everything that comes up about you online, and in his case, hopefully someone would be searching for him and might come across that, and he didn't probably put his best foot forward in that interview with us, so I'm not sure that would have landed him the big job. So, you know, probably that was a really good decision on his part, that part.
Okay. Now, the other thing, this Talent Talk, who I mentioned in the introduction, she's, you know, got this friend, and she claims that her company uses titles that don't reflect the level of responsibility involved in the job. I've seen it before where companies have peculiar titles, proprietary titles, that don't mean anything. And I tell people, when you go on LinkedIn, just change them. Put in a generic title.
That's right.
And they
absolutely
should do that on their resume. You agree with me, right? Because there was a little discussion
about that. I absolutely do.
Yeah.
And let's talk a little bit more about titles. Even though Jeremy didn't join us, there's a big lesson here for everybody that looks at Jeremy's profile.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking he's still looking for a job. And if he is, he's got this founder of Press IQ, which happens to be, I'm guessing, his own company.
Yeah.
Financial content marketing, financial writer and editor, financial media strategist. So he's like everything in the kitchen sink, right? The problem is looking at his profile, nobody hires founders. I mean, you know, Animal, that person that doesn't want you to treat potential candidates as a dollar bill, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever went and looked for a founder?
No, I never have. You got a good point.
Yeah,
Jeremy.
And very few of us. Very few of us.
I'm giving a message to you.
Well, and a message to everyone, because I'm in it. You know, by the way, I'm from careerconfidentials.com, and we do give job seekers.
You introduce yourself and then give that message out to everybody. Peggy, what's your website address?
Careerconfidentials.com.
Now, you used to be, and maybe you still are to some extent, a sales recruiter for pharmaceutical sales reps. Do you still do that?
Medical sales, not pharmaceutical, but medical sales reps.
Medical sales reps. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Medical sales and marketing is my specialty in the recruiting area.
Okay, but you're heavily into career counseling now, too, and job
hunting. Heavily, Heavily.
Okay.
Well, with Career Confidential, it's more than just career counseling. What we found is that there's a lot of information on the Internet about how to run your job search. Some of it's really terrible, by the way, but some of it's very good. And the problem is the average job seeker can't just read something and implement it in their job search. They need to be shown how to do it. And they need to be coached, and they need to be encouraged, and then they need samples of how to do it as well. They cannot just read an article, because the truth is, Animal, you know that you could tell Jeremy how to get a job in less than 30 days if he would just listen to what you said to do, right?
I guess so.
Okay. And if you wrote him, if you wrote him a whole message, if you wrote him a letter like a blog article that said, "Dear Jeremy, if you'll do these things, you'll get a job."
Yeah.
Sadly, because the truth is we did this with him on your show, sadly, 30 days later, he still won't have his job. And the reason is because you can't just write down, hey, do this, do this, do this, and it'll work. 95% of the people cannot execute on that. So at Career Confidential, we've put together audio files, video files, PowerPoints. We're using applications on Androids and applications on the iPad and iPhone platforms. We're using all kinds of different media, if you will, to teach people how to come at their job search in a more successful way. So that's what I do at Career Confidential.
I should note that you're a prize winner on the Recruiting Animal Show. You actually won the video award like 4 or 5 years ago for the best videos. Okay, but here's a question. You used to be
but
sales
recruiter.
But did she
get her award? Because none of the rest of us did.
Yes, everybody got their award, okay?
He brought
everybody
it to me in person. He didn't bring you your award. He brought it to me.
I did not get my award.
Yes, you
I'm
did.
I'm
waiting
for my gift certificate.
I remember doing that.
If I had gotten it, it would be on all of my social media profiles, and it's not there.
Okay, I'll get it for you. I'll send it again. Mike Aestringer won the most spiritual recruiter award, and I know I can defend that.
God bless you, Animal.
Yeah, he was willing. Okay, I won't go into that story. But Peggy, before I forget, the whole reason I was blowing on this, you used to be at Sales Recruiter on Twitter, and Phil was looking for you today. He said you're not using that anymore. Do you have a different Twitter address? You've given up on Twitter.
I am not as active on Twitter in my business. I don't find that it's as useful. You know, the way I have to look at business is ROI, right? And I don't find the ROI over on the discussions on Twitter to be positive enough.
Really? Why?
I don't know. I guess it's
okay.
A bunch of twists.
Okay, but on Facebook, people come to you from Facebook? People come to you from Facebook? Is that what you're telling
Facebook
me?
Facebook is more valuable than Twitter is in terms of meeting people that are interested in you know, getting that edge in the job search, yes.
Oh, okay, wow. Okay, Okay, so let me see. So one more thing about that changing your job title. Some people said you're going to be accused of lying on your resume. Is that an issue?
No, you're not. No, it's never going to come up. You know why? Because Jeremy gets to come up with his own title if he owns his own company. So if he and the truth is, see, his title. Now I'm going to take a stab at what he wants to really be. This is by the way, this is the problem of the Swiss Army knife versus the the wrench, if you will. Everybody wants to hire a wrench or a pair of pliers. They don't want to hire a Swiss Army knife. And if you look at Seth on his LinkedIn profile, he's got 3 or 4 different things that you can look at him for being. Now, he needs to decide which one it is. I don't think anybody's going to hire him from entrepreneurial education. I don't think so. So he probably should be a financial writer. And so his title at founder of Press IQ should be, senior financial writer.
And you know what? He's got 1 million articles on banking. He obviously has a niche that he understands very well.
And see, he could get a job, right? As it
Why
is,
they
someone
linked?
Goes there and they don't have a clue what he wants to really be when he grows up.
Right, but he's
Why
got,
aren't they linked?
He's got, what do you mean?
Why aren't Alex, they, does any mean? Of this, any, Peggy, shouldn't at least one or two of the stories be linked through the link on LinkedIn, or at least put down and use SlideShare down there?
Oh, yeah, he could do that. But, that's all, there's so many things in life where people get distracted and they spend a lot of time and energy on things that don't really do much for you, right? They're doing activity, but they're not really getting actual performance from it. the best thing that Jeremy could do today would be not to worry about any of that, not that link, nothing, just to change his title so that you knew that he wanted a financial writing job, and then in his summary to say, I'm seeking a position as a writer in the financial markets area, period. Contact me at jeremy.davis@hireme.com, you know? If he did those two things, those would add way more value than calling Animal and getting him to take off his name or change his name or adding SlideShare or posting on Twitter or anything. Right now, he's a confused person that no one knows what to hire him for.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. That's why I brought you, Peggy. I like the way you say
those
things.
Well, it's so sad because he's not here to defend himself. So I want to say that, you know, I'm welcome any comments or remarks that he has, but I know because this is what we coach people to do all the time. And again, if you go to careerconfidential.com, we actually have a product there where we teach you how to set up this LinkedIn profile, and we talk about the fact that you've got to get your title closely mirroring the title that you want. And nobody hires, and so this is great because I think your audience has a lot of these people in it. Nobody goes and looks for an entrepreneur. So if you have that title, you need to change it. Nobody looks for a founder. If you have that title, you need to change it. If you're not going to be hired as a CEO, then having CEO or president as your title doesn't help you either. So I tell people to put titles like in Jeremy's situation, you know, financial writer, senior financial writer. Myself, I wouldn't put that I was owner or president. I'd put I was senior medical sales recruiter. Director of operations, if you want an ops job and you own your company, then you're director of operations. Director of marketing, if you want a marketing job. And no, you will not be accused of lying because this is your company. You can have whatever title you want. And oh, by the way, they're not interested in that anyway. They want to know about you if you're a candidate that's an opportunity for them to hire. And if you don't change that title, they'll never pursue you.
Okay, you can make up any title you want. That doesn't mean people are going to respect you for it. Although I agree with what you said, and I have a follow-up for that, Phil. I haven't forgotten you. Don't worry. There's lots of time. Now, what about these people who put seasoned and experienced before their title? I think that's nonsense.
I do, too. I don't think it sells you at all.
Oh, Peggy, you're great. I like that. Okay.
You
yeah,
like
it makes you look dumb. It makes you look dumb. Yeah. Okay, now,
you don't
I got
need to have,
of
and the other thing is so many people, you know, we just did a webinar. We do webinars every week, and we just did one on ageism. We had over 1,000 people sign up for this webinar. All of these people over 40, over 50, over 60, some of them, looking for ways to battle what they believe is hurting them in the job market. And one of the things that you'll see on every one of their resumes, these same people who think that they're fighting ageism, they will also have seasoned, experienced, over 30 years, 25-plus years. I had a lady yesterday. She's an admin assistant. She put 33-plus years as an administrative assistant. Holy shit.
She should have
just
put geezer there, right? Is that what she should have put
I'm like, oh, my God. And you're worried about ageism and you put this on your resume? Take this off.
You know, let me jump ahead. I have some questions on this about you. Phil, I haven't forgotten you. Don't worry, okay?
Phil, are you doing okay?
I'm doing fine.
Still with us? Still with us, okay? He's only 26.
He's with us.
He doesn't really care about this ageist stuff. But with is there a value? Are employers unable to see any value in older workers? Are they missing the boat with older workers? Or, you know, do they have a reason for being not interested in them?
Yes and yes. That's the answer. Yes, they're missing the boat on many older workers, and yes, there's a reason why they're concerned. In short, the reason they're concerned, the five, if I can remember this, the five things that I know that they're concerned about, they're worried that the older worker doesn't have enough energy, can't keep up. They're worried that the older worker can't take, you know, the technology, doesn't know what a smartphone is, has never been on Facebook, doesn't know how to turn on the computer. They're concerned that the older worker won't take direction from a younger supervisor, right?
Right.
They're also concerned that the older worker won't be coachable. I've already done this 33 years this way. Why would I change, you know?
Uh-huh.
So these are the things that they're concerned about, which, by the way, are very real issues with certain candidates. However, on the flip side, the really good side is there are some amazing older workers out there who have a lot to offer a potential employer and who are completely coachable and may not have all the technology skills but are working hard to develop those and certainly are intelligent enough to do so. The thing that I tell people, Animal, is that if you're an older worker, skip all the big companies. And, you know, I can get a call from Johnson & Johnson today, but I'm going to tell you these big, big, big companies like J&J, like Roche, like Philips, like Pepsi, like Coca-Cola, these guys are not going to be hiring seniors. They're going to put on there also that they want a bachelor's degree in every job, and they can do that because they are class of the field, and they'll have enough people apply that they can pick and choose whatever color, height, weight they want, right? Now, that's the bad news, right?
Uh-huh.
Are you guys still with me here? Everybody here?
Yeah, I have a quick question.
I've forgotten you. There's plenty
okay,
of time.
I have a quick question. So here's the good news. The good news is forget them. You don't want to work for them anyway. They aren't going to appreciate what you bring. Go to the smaller companies, and there are so many small companies popping up everywhere with lots and lots of growth opportunities and lots of jobs where you can get some on-the-job training and you can learn as they learn and where they're going to appreciate maturity and someone who shows up every day. And maybe they'll appreciate someone that isn't on their smartphone every minute of the day.
Yeah, they
you know?
Can't
I mean,
pay for the tougher people, so they'll take you, in other words. Okay, hold on. Before I forget, now, first of all, Phil, there was supposed to be two of you on the show. We're taking Jeremy Seth Davis's time right now. So I'm not going to forget you. Don't worry, okay? Now, I think it was Rebecca or somebody had a question. Just 1 second. No, I forgot now. Oh, I forgot. If I don't yes, I remember. I remember.
Okay.
Last
okay.
time, you when you were here with Phil, you told him when no, didn't pull any punches. Right at the end, you said, Phil, I want you to go out and get a list of these companies and call everybody. Do something. Don't just sit there. Now, Jeremy Seth Davis, you said he should put his name up there as a financial writer. Fine. But that's still kind of a passive job search. You're waiting for people to find him on LinkedIn
but at least,
or wherever.
Right now, even if they come find him, he's swatting them away with that terrible job title.
But look, financial writer is kind of it's a real narrow niche, I'd say. I mean, he does publish. He's got tons of articles published for the.
Well, you say it's narrow. I bet there's a lot of opportunities in it, though.
So what should he do? Get all the editors' names and start phoning around?
Oh, yeah, or CEOs or directors of marketing of small financial companies who have a blog or need to have their blog expanded. The CEO is going to know about this. The VP of marketing and sales is going to be interested in this. And, you know, the other thing that both of these young folks have to do is they've got to start quantifying the things that they've done. You know, so in Jeremy's case, if he's written all these things, well, how many people read these, you know? He could probably find out how many times a page has been viewed. He's got one thing that where he helped founders raise $500,000 in just a few weeks, so he's got a couple of quantifications there, but you really got to be able to quantify what you've done for a company, because if you do that, it's really impressive.
Okay, so there's just a couple more questions about him. So he's approaching people. We've had an ongoing discussion on the show. Some recruiters like to send an email first, and some of them just like to get on the phone and call. I think the phone call is better first. Which do you think, email or phone call?
Whichever one he will definitely do.
Okay.
Pick up the phone.
See what I'm saying?
There
are some people, though, they are not going to be able to pick up the phone. So if you tell them that that's the thing that you want them to do, they are just scheduled to fail. They just don't
then
have
get
it
over
in
it.
Them to do it.
I'm sorry, Peggy. I'm sorry,
that,
Peggy.
You say that, and I, you know, hey, I'm with you, man. I would much rather talk to someone on the phone than email them. But
and in addition,
we're talking about a financial writer. I spoke with him, so he's not the most outgoing, gregarious, communicative person that there is, right?
Can I make a suggestion to that, Peggy?
Mm-hmm.
I would say, number one, towards the get over it part, I would say, A, call up people he knows and tape record himself on the phone. I've done this, and start listening and get better at it. And the only reason I'm pressing on that, Peggy, is because I will tell you, having been in the trenches for so many years, the person that picks up the phone and calls and gets a hold of a person on the other end of the line, I think there's a balance that gets moved around. So if Jeremy's not, let's say he's not qualified enough to do something, the simple fact that he made the call, that elevates
him.
And
sets him apart.
And sets him apart. And I will tell you that getting called by technical people, financial people, what have you, that weren't exactly a 5-to-5 skill match set, that it shows their character, their drive, their professionalism, their personality so much better, and they get, and they are all, and they already have put themselves in the top 5% by simply doing that. So I'm sorry, I have to press on that, because if somebody's looking for something, it does a couple of things. It gets them to the top 5% faster.
Okay, let me cut in. You know, Al, I'm with Peggy. You know, sink or swim. Lots of people are going to sink. However, I like your advice about calling friends. Yep, it's not always going to be easy even to get a friend to do it. Tape yourself talking to your friends or your mom or your dad or something like that.
Well,
you
or
do it
hire someone.
Times.
I can tell you that I do phone interviews from around the world with people doing just exactly what you described, and I have the ability to record that call, and then I send them the audio file so that they can listen to it over and over again. And what we do in those calls are we let them practice so they do get to hear themselves like what you're talking about, but then I give them the better way to say it, and then they get to try it again, and then they get to listen to that over and over again, which improves their communication skills. And there's other people
now,
who do
that. Now, is that the 900 number?
A 900 number, yeah, I wish. Like $3 a minute.
Okay, one more question before we get to Phil. So if Jeremy is going to get on the phone, if Jeremy Seth Davis is going to get on the phone and call those people, let's say he does get on the phone, what should he say?
Mm-hmm. Well, now, who was the gentleman that was telling us about that? Is that I heard you say
that's
Al.
That's Alan Fleur.
Alan Fleur. Alan, nice to meet you.
You too, Peggy.
So what he would say is, hey, Alan, I know that you're a respected recruiter in the XYZ area. I wanted to give you a call today
He's calling the hiring manager, you said, not a recruiter.
Okay, yeah, but I can do that too.
Okay, Peggy,
great.
Peggy, let's trade, okay?
Okay.
Let's
no,
trade on
I
this.
Want
so you.
Peggy! I want Peggy to give the cold call!
All right.
Alan's trying to be the dominating person in this call.
Yeah, well, okay.
Peggy, I'm an editor. Peggy, I'm an editor.
You. I want her to do the cold call, and she can call you, and you're the marketing manager, director of marketing for the company.
Oh, wait, we'll do it both ways. We'll do it both ways. Okay, so
Peggy
I'll
can,
be
by the
Jeremy
way, Peggy
first,
can
and then you can be Jeremy. Okay.
And by the way, you can dominate me anytime, Peggy.
All right. That's a
anyway,
date.
Go
okay.
ahead.
All right, so the phone rings. You pick it up. You say, I'm Alan, who's the editor. Go ahead.
So, you're Seth, good to meet you. How can I help you?
Hey, Alan, I am so glad that I was able to connect with you live. I saw that you guys were expanding your financial newsletter. It was also in the press releases last week, and I wanted to get in touch with you because I happen to be a blossoming financial writer. Are you able to speak about this right now, Alan?
Well, I can't talk about it right now. I'm getting ready for a conference call. Can you call me back? Let me give you got my my direct number?
You know what? We'll do this next week. Play along.
No. There's two answers.
No, this is good. This is okay. It's okay. So
Animal,
I say great.
Just go with this.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But if you can call me in 2 hours, here's my number. Give me a call. We can talk for about 20 minutes. Yeah, we are expanding. So that's the short version. So the second answer would be, yeah, Peggy, yeah, we are, but we really look for people with experience. What's your background?
All right, well, let me start with answering that first one, okay? Mm-hmm. So I would say, hey, Alan, that's great. I will give you a call in 2 hours. Give me your email address that you'll be able to check before then. I'm going to pop you some of the articles that I've put together as well as a brief syllabus of who I am. What's your email address that I can send that to?
Right, good.
Okay.
That was
and
good.
Then I'm going to call him in 2 hours, and I'm going to say, Alan, do you have that email in front of you? And if he says no, I'm going to say, well, is there any way that you can get it in front of you now? No. What time would you be able to look at it so that we can speak about it live?
Now,
okay, because I'm going to if I'm good, I want to set a bias.
No, I agree with that, Peggy. And I would probably, if we switch places, I would probably do the same thing you did. The only thing I would add to it, and I get nothing out of this. I would go to anybody, and Jeremy and Seth especially, go look at a book called The New Rules of Marketing and PR. It's handled directly in that. But the other thing I would suggest, Peggy, is I would, before Seth calls, I would do just a little bit of front end research. When I called that person up, especially because he's looking to publish, and I would do two things. Number one, I'd say, "Hey, Peggy, hi. This is Alan Fleur. I'd use your same intro. I'd say, you know what? Do you have a moment right now to talk, or are you under deadline?" Now, they're all under deadline, but it shows that he's done a little bit. He knows the vernacular. And the second thing that I would say is, you know, Peggy, I know you folks are expanding your department there, and I read the articles that you wrote or that so-and-so wrote about X, Y, and Z. And the only reason I suggest those two additional things, Peggy, is it shows he did his research and he's coming. He's already talking on their plane.
Okay, got to move to Phil. Phil, it's 12:30. We'll come back to the role play if we have a chance. Before Phil Tom hangs up on me, I want Peggy to talk about him. Thank you, Alan Fleur. I know there's a woman I have to come back to get a question, but I got Phil. He's waiting here for Peggy, desperately. Peggy.
Okay, Phil, why don't you tell us about what's happened since the last time we talked?
I changed my LinkedIn profile. That was the first thing. I got a haircut.
Yeah, you got a haircut. We can see it on the show site. If you go to recruitinganimalshow.com.
Yep. I'm there right now.
You can see he's got – but what about that picture he's got of himself on Facebook? Is that okay where he's got his mouth open and all that stuff?
On
Facebook or on LinkedIn? I think his picture on LinkedIn isn't professional enough.
The one with the short hair?
It's not professional enough. That's a flouncy collar with a cardigan. You need to be – you want to look like what you want to get paid, you know? And I don't think that profile picture communicates what you want to communicate.
Can we just say, Peggy, for the people who can't see it, he's wearing a sweater and a shirt without a tie, right?
Well, let's talk about it further. He has a plaid shirt that doesn't have a very stiff collar, so it hardly counts as a collared shirt. And a cardigan of some sort that isn't on like it could be or should be. So the outcome is it looks like a very, you know, informal photo, which I say on the LinkedIn photos, you don't need to have one done by a professional photographer. You can get one done with your cell phone. But you need to have a nice collared shirt, and you need to be communicating the professionalism that you are looking to get paid for.
But maybe
my
that's
opinion,
okay for the business he's in, the sector, the line of business, where, you know,
maybe,
the nerdy kind of
guy. But I don't think
guy.
So. I think in every business there's a need for extreme professionalism and marketing. And see, in marketing, you're looking for protecting an image, right? The other thing is, on his summary, he says, my main interests, in no particular order,
are on-site. Yeah, I thought that was funny, too. Yeah.
I've never seen that anywhere else. I've never seen that on a profile ever. So I would just tighten up even his summary, and I'm going to come back to the truth is, Phil, for you to get a great job, you've got to contact these hiring managers the way Al and I were going through this. That's the best way to do it. But you did tighten up your profile a little bit. There's still more that, you know, I would like to have done. But let me read for the audience what you've got in your summary, and then I'll talk about what I would put there. So you've got my main interests in no particular order are on-site SEO, content marketing, community management, and social media marketing, period. I'm currently studying to get both my Google AdWords certification and Bing Ads accreditation, as I'd like to learn more about pay-per-click and media buying, period. So what I would have there is I'm seeking a role within a high-growth company as an inbound marketer and SEO analyst. Currently, I have expertise in on-site SEO, content marketing, community management, and social media marketing. And then I'd have parentheses, including but not limited to Facebook, LinkedIn, blah, 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 end of parentheses. I'd do two hard enters, so I have some white space, and I would say, let's see, how do we want to say in process? Or we could say Google AdWords certification and Bing Ads accreditation pending, in parentheses, should be completed, you know, September 2013, period. And that would be the way that you would do that. And so you wouldn't be setting up this, hey, I'd like to learn more. You know, businesses, gosh, it's just such a place that you need to understand. The young people have a hard time with it, but we're not interested in you really learning that much more. We're interested in you putting some numbers to our bottom line. And so we want to hear not what you're thinking
you,
about expanding on, but what you can do for us now.
I have two questions for you. First,
okay.
Why would I put I'm looking for a position if I currently have a job where I'm fairly happy? Essentially,
yeah,
he did
pretty well finding a job. He's got a job now, Peggy.
Oh,
so,
well, I asked what had happened since the last time we talked, and he said he'd changed his profile.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought you meant with the advice you gave me.
I didn't do that. So you did get a good job. So don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah, that sounded like bad advice. It's like,
yeah, that would be bad advice. You don't want them to fire you. But
how did you get your job?
Go in and make that summary much more professional and hard-hitting, right? And add more of the keywords, like don't just have PPC, but have pay-per-click, and, you know, all of those things either spelled out and, you know, shortened up. And then the other thing is, and this is the big, big, big thing for you going forward in your career, man, be quantifying what you do at your job so that you can put that on your resume and you can explain it. You know, how many people did you reach with your email marketing? How many did you reach with your pay-per-click? What was the resulting ROI from that? How did you change it and what was the increase? Please be doing that because that will make a huge difference in how you progress.
Peggy?
Well, I do know for my current job, I'm not supposed to really talk too much about the ROI that we provide the clients. So
you can do that without
quoting
numbers.
How can you let Peggy get in there, please? How can Peggy?
Well, now, I understand they don't want you. I didn't say you had to put these numbers on this LinkedIn profile. I said you need to be writing down those numbers so you can put it into your resume. So let's say that NVI were to can you tomorrow. I would want you to have a resume that speaks to your scope and responsibilities and outreach in that role immediately, and I would not care about what they said about what you can and can't share, because if they can you, they no longer are writing you a check. You can do whatever you want.
Hey, yeah,
well, I
how
did
we
sign
got
a non-disclosure.
I'm curious to know that.
What did you say?
They
job,
did make
Phil.
Me sign a non-disclosure. Well, anyways, I'll answer you after. They made me sign
okay.
a non-disclosure agreement,
uh-huh.
so I feel like that's still breaking it if I put it in my written resume.
Right.
That non-disclosure agreement is basically only in place while you work there.
I did not know
once
that.
Once you quit working there, they don't have any power over you or any ability to ask you for anything. Now, if you went and worked for one of their competitors, yeah, they could sue you. But NVI is not going to do that. Nobody's interested in suing another little person over a client. Oh, by the way, you're not going to tell this client, you're not going to, or, you know, in your resume, you're not going to give away the trade secret of how you increase the ROI by 10%. You're going to say you did
That's
it.
True.
If you get into an interview, you might tell them a little bit more, right? But you're not going to give away secrets. You're just going to tell them how you did it. And so many people let this hold you back. And the thing is quit worrying about these companies, man. They take care of themselves. You need to take care of yourself.
You're going to visit him in jail, right?
Oh, he won't go to jail.
Okay.
I promise you won't go to jail, Philip.
How'd you get the job?
Well, I started off by – I didn't call. I did emails, and I connected with people on LinkedIn that had jobs I liked.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to them more about what I needed to get those jobs and what I had
mm-hmm.
to show kind of as experience. Because with
yes.
1 year of experience, I was getting a bit of resistance. So then I started just browsing on Craigslist for any type of contract work I could find, whether
uh-huh.
I knew how to do it or not. And I'd just
mm-hmm.
pitch a fairly cheap price and learn. So, like, all those little projects I did were essentially me getting paid to learn stuff.
Oh, that's outstanding. Good job.
Yeah.
Now, let me
and
tell
then,
you, if on your resume you were able to quantify any of those little jobs plus this job at JobBook plus this job on NVI as you progress in your career, you'll be so much further ahead of all of your peers. Okay?
Yep.
You did a great job. I just want you to be paying attention and keeping notes about your reach and scope and dollars and numbers and percentages. Because when you have to put together your next resume, if you can put those in there, you won't be getting those remarks of not having enough experience.
Okay. Who's breathing heavily into their phone? Don't do that. If that's you, Phil, that's something you got to learn, okay? I'm giving you some good feedback.
I'm horrible on the phone.
Somebody's breathing heavily, and I don't like it. Now, Peggy, you're not just a job hunt coach. You told me if someone is also, you know, getting stale in their career, you'd like to talk to them. Now, he just started, but could you take a look at what he's doing and project where he should be? Like if someone wanted to say, where do you want to be 5 years from now or 3 years from now? What should he be doing for his career to build a career? He's 26 years old.
Well, he should be doing what he did to get this job, which is stacking the skill sets, right? You're a young guy. Don't be worried about titles. Stack the skill sets. And
what does that mean?
Quantify. So learn all that you can. Get that certification and then use it and learn as much as you can about it and quantify what you've done so that you can communicate it to others. Because that's the whole thing. There's thousands of folks out there who say they're social media experts or SEO analysts and all that other stuff, but less than 1%, maybe 2% of them will be able to communicate to you their reach and scope and what they did. If you can do that, you will set yourself apart, and then you'll be able to get whatever titles and responsibilities you want.
You know, I have to say something. I'm looking at his photo on LinkedIn, and I understand he looks like he's in his kitchen or something like that. But it's a much nicer, friendly photo. I like to be that guy's friend. Way better than most people's photos on LinkedIn, I have to tell you. So, I mean, I think that's more important than the clothes, even though you might be right about those clothes and also the uncombed hair.
I don't think so. I wonder what the other folks on the show would say. Are they looking at the picture?
Ditch it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm telling you, the picture's hurting you. But
okay.
He's got a job. He doesn't have to worry about this. But when he wants to get a new one, he probably needs to sharpen up that picture.
Do you have any questions that you had, you know, for you're getting some top-level career counseling for free. Do you have any questions, Phil, that you want to ask Peggy?
What do you think about consulting on the side while I'm doing this job? Is that an iffy thing to do? Because I know SEO, the main money is made doing consulting. And I know right now...
Are you only interested in money, or do you want to work for yourself? Are you somebody who builds people well and collects? And
I have to learn how to collect better.
Yeah.
I would love to work for myself.
You know what I would say, Phil, is I see people who... you know, they go and they get a job for a year or two, and then they try to jump out and work for themselves, you know, and live the American dream, start their own business. And, you know, and a few of those work out pretty well, right? I mean, Gates and some other folks, right? But most people, and I'm thinking you as well, can really utilize that incubator time within a company, seeing how the processes work within a proven company. See, and they must be proven or your paycheck would bounce, right? So
True. They
know something that you probably don't know. No offense. They know something probably I don't know, right? And so what I think is the most valuable thing for a person like you is for you to sit there for 2 years, as long as you're learning all the time. Now, when you quit learning, then you need to think about a new job. But I think the most important thing a person like you could do is sit in that job for 2 years, soaking up everything that you can, being everything that they could use plus more, reading every book you can get your hands on, learning more about this, getting better and better, and quantifying all of your results. And then at the end of that 2 years, you can ask yourself, do I now understand how they, you know, how they got their customers, how they turned them into long-term customers and supported them, how they build them, how they collected from them, and all of those pieces. And if I understand all that, then now maybe is the time to go out and start getting some side consulting, right?
Mm-hmm.
But right now, any of that would distract you from your job, and you need to be spectacular in this role.
I'm already
it's your launching
spectacular
point.
In this role.
You don't want to wait another year to be spectacular. It needs to happen in this year, right?
Oh, I am already spectacular. I can quantify it.
Excellent. Excellent.
I don't have any problems.
Well, all I'm saying is I see people who jump out into the entrepreneur track who are unprepared for all of the different parts and pieces. I had this gal who was a PR person. She was extremely good at PR. I mean, she had raised millions in her roles in the PR section of her companies that she had worked with Infill. But when she jumped out on her own, what she realized was she spent 50% of her time doing things other than what she was really, really good at, which was the PR. She was trying to drum up business. She was trying to collect on payments that were due. She was trying to continue business. And then she had to go and do the PR work, too. And what she realized was she's not as good at those other things. She's really spectacular at PR, but not as good at those other things. And when she's within a company, she can shine. But when she's not, it's harder. And see, I'm thinking that there's more for you to learn there now. Maybe
it sounds like she should have started with a partner.
Oh, Phil, we could have shows and shows about these partner things, huh?
I have no
Animal
idea.
Would have to, Animal, you're going to have to schedule us for another week. We're going to talk about partners.
Yeah, that's a hell of a story. Look, there was a woman about a half an hour ago wanted to say something. I asked Peggy a question. I think it was Rebecca. I'm not sure. Still there, whoever it was? No. Okay. Before we get into, does anybody got any questions for Peggy? Alan, I know you do, but anybody else as well who hasn't spoken up, who's a bit shy? You don't have to be shy on this show. There's about a dozen people here. Anybody want to ask Peggy anything or argue with her? 5, 4, 3, 2. See, everybody says I don't give anybody a chance, but I do.
Anyway, yeah, this is an extremely tame show.
Is somebody handling the after show today? Mike A. Stringer, are you still in here? No, he's gone too.
I don't think they're here.
There's a dozen people here, but they're callers. They're people calling to listen to you. They're not people calling to run the after show and argue with you. They're not that type. They're not the Animal Crew. They're just people who want to listen quietly at the office, okay? So
good.
I got a lot of questions for Peggy, but Phil, I know you wanted to talk to her still. Do you have anything else you want to talk about right now with Peggy?
No. I came in just for an alumni show. I wanted to see what it was going to be like.
Well, this is an alumni
show. Well, Phil,
you've
done a good job. Congratulations.
You're an alumnus. You got yourself a job. She's patting you on the back, but she's arguing with your vision for the future. And she might be right. I mean, I don't know you that well. If somebody has their own business, it's like looking for a job every day. The funny thing is...
It is.
The funny thing is, I don't think people who have their own business are necessarily the best job hunters. They know how to go out looking for business, presumably for their own business, but they don't know how to look for a job properly. Peggy, what do you say about that?
It's because they haven't given themselves permission to do so. And what I mean by that is, yes, and we have a ton of these people who own their own businesses who are now trying to come back into the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
You must also, because you're bringing this up, right? And what I realize is they can be really – they're willing to market their services in their business, but when it comes to marketing their services as a job seeker, they are uncomfortable with what, you know, the boundaries are. And so you have to give them permission to contact hiring managers directly. They're concerned that, you know, they read all the ads where the HR chick has, you know, copy and pasted that sentence in there that says, you know, do not go directly to anybody within our firm, fill out this application, or we'll chop off your head, you know. And so they don't want to go around that HR group. They don't want to go around that application. They continue just to go through that same, you know, narrow gating process and having no success at it. Whereas if they would take the skill sets that they use to market their business and marketed themselves directly to hiring managers, they would do so well. You know, we have a little product. We don't even provide this where anybody else can see it because it's a very hot product. It's called a job search evaluation, and it's a form that they fill out, and they'll tell us how many people they've contacted and how they contacted them. Plus, they'll attach their resume and they'll tell us what's going on in their job search, and then we make a recommendation back to them. And Animal, you wouldn't believe how many people will write me, and in their summary they will say, I don't know what's going wrong, I don't know why I don't have a job, and yet back in the question where it says, how many hiring managers have you contacted, how many jobs have you applied for, they may have that they've applied for, 30 jobs, and maybe they haven't contacted any hiring manager directly, and yet they're wondering why their job search isn't successful. And, if you got a job off of 30, what is 1 divided by 30? If you got a job off 30 applications, what kind of a sales percentage would that be? 1 divided by 30, that's a 3.33% conversion rate. I can't even sell a $7 product hardly at a 3.3% conversion rate, let alone sell somebody with a salary of $50, $60, $70, $90,
$100,000. I have a question.
Go ahead.
Peggy, what would you advise a candidate or a person who's been pulling candidates from a particular company, and that person decides, you know what, I'd really like to work for the company that I've been pulling from?
How would you advise them to
approach the hiring manager or the head of HR or whatever?
Okay, so let me make sure. So we've got a recruiter who's been recruiting from Company A, taking Company A's people, right? And placing them elsewhere.
Right.
And now said recruiter wants to go to work for this company as an employee or as a contingency recruiter?
Either one.
Internal.
Okay.
She wants to talk about internal.
Okay. First of all, how would they know that you've been pulling their people? I cannot believe how many companies don't know who pulls their people and don't even try to find out. I had a client company that I was having to compete with a recruiter for, and the same recruiter was taking people from them every month, and they didn't even know. And I didn't point it out. I'm not going to go and do this, okay? But what I'm saying is, I don't even know that you even need to ask this question from the perspective of you pulling the people from them. They probably aren't even aware of it. Let's say that they do bring it up, okay, which sounds like that's the fear, right?
Right.
Then I would just be like, look, my job is as a recruiter, and I'm going to recruit.
It's proof that you're good at your job. I mean, what's the issue?
Yeah.
You can sell into it. Look how many people I've got from you, buddy.
That's what I was wondering.
I don't think you want to bring it up. I don't think you want to tell them that.
Okay.
But
all right.
If it should come up. And now you ask one more question. Your real question was, how do you approach them? Is that real? Do you still want me to answer that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Okay. Well, the way that I would approach it is I would go to the very head, since you're wanting a job in HR, the very head person within HR, I would start contacting that person via email and via phone, and communicating your extreme success in the past and what you have to offer, and just let them know, I'm entertaining conversations with a couple different companies to become an internal recruiter. I've always found your company interesting and exciting, and I would like to speak with you person to person about how I might be able to benefit your company.
Okay.
And don't send them a resume.
Right.
Just do that. Try to get that conversation.
Here's another question with regards to that we've discussed before with recruiters. They might say, go out and do some work on this job to show us that you can do it. Should you work for free on something like that?
I don't. I would say, look, I'm not going to go and do that. I'll tell you what I would do, exactly what I would do to access those kinds of candidates. But I'm not going to do free work for you.
Because I know a case, I heard it from the person herself, where they told her, in fact, maybe more than once, they said, go out and do this search, and then they came in and asked her, well, do another one for us to see, just to prove that you got what we need.
And I'd say, here's an invoice, pay another one.
Yeah, okay. Could you actually ask them, look, I don't mind doing this as a contract job? But
we need to negotiate a fee. It sounds like you need a service that I provide.
Uh-huh. Okay, fine. Anybody else got questions about recruiters looking for jobs? Kathy?
No, it's interesting. Thank you.
Okay. So I got like one more question. Are talent communities a fantasy of people who are not in recruiting or aren't really looking for a job themselves? Do you know what I'm talking about, Peggy? Where companies supposedly can you can join up to a company's social media network, you know, and they think people are going to hang on their every word or something like that, and they don't ever have to recruit because they're going to have this talent pool, you know, just waiting for information from them.
Well, companies are always going to have to recruit because the very best people in the highest places aren't doing any talent community following, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They're busy doing their job. So they will always have to recruit for certain levels. I will tell you that there are companies that have amazing opportunities to create talent communities and then be able to recruit from them. For example, there's an industry that I work within that has a technical type of person that everyone needs, and they're really hard to get a hold of. Now, if I owned one of those companies or worked within one of those companies, I would put together a community servicing those kinds of people, not a talent community, but a community servicing those type of people where they could get additional training, where they could get cool little things, where they could get access to podcasts from experts and things like that, so that they'd be in there getting all trained up and sitting there absorbing my information, so that when I wanted to reach out and say, hey, I need someone in Ohio who has the skill set, they would be there. Yes, I believe you can do that. But as far as just having like a talent community where you're going to be able to go and pull, the best people are not in those communities.
Okay. Now, I want to give you a chance. I can argue with you about that. We don't have any more time. I want to thank Phil for coming on. I want to note something. He presents himself as the way he talks is kind of a mild-mannered person, but I like the way he pressed back with you because I don't think he agrees with you about a lot of things, but he listened to what you had to say.
He's passive-aggressive with me.
Well, I wouldn't call it like that.
If I had my whip, we'd get that fixed.
I like the way he's got a soft voice, but he says, Peggy, I don't agree. This is what I want. Now, I think he might have the backbone to have his own business. Maybe not. Maybe he should stick there, like you said.
He may have the backbone, but he doesn't have the experience yet.
You might be right about that.
He could do so much better. This is the thing. He could jump out, and he might make it in his own business, okay? But I see people that do these lifestyle businesses where they just barely struggle along every year, year in and year out. And it's because they don't get better at what they're doing. They're not sharpening the saw. They're not getting all this the training that you get in the corporate environment. They're not becoming more. They're not pressing themselves because they don't have anybody there to press them because they own the business, right? So man, would he be stronger if he'd wait 2 or 3 years and do what we talked about.
Okay, Peggy, give us your contact information again. Your website?
Website is careerconfidential.com. For the job seekers that are listening, in the bottom right-hand corner, there's a button there for free webinars. We have webinars every week on everything ranging from cover letters, resumes,
free,
how to contact hiring managers.
Free webinars?
What? Free webinars every week. You can go to careerconfidential.com/training-webinars to see our webinar schedule. Thousands of people a week come to those. We provide a lot of free information to help people out in their job search, and then we provide some of those key pieces that people need to really set themselves apart. And I don't know if you saw, but I put a map up on Facebook. We're doing business in over 70 countries.
Uh-huh.
So it's we're helping out a lot of job seekers worldwide.
I'm going to check out some of your webinars, though, because I love listening to you. I mean, it might sound like I'm sucking up to you, but no, I like listening to you. Phil, I appreciate you. I like you to call. You call in and you take it from Peggy. That takes guts. Thank you, everybody.
It does.
Goodbye.